Alrighty, if you would take your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. We're going to get right into the message tonight. The message will be very brief, says every pastor, every Sunday, every service. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Tonight will be just a little bit different than what we're normally used to, but I believe it'll be something that will be of great, great benefit to each and every one of us as a whole. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says this: "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful for everything that has been done today. Holy Spirit of God, your presence was felt. It's what we prayed for. And we're so thankful. Christ, I believe you were lifted up today. It's also what we prayed for. And now we come to the time of the message of the Word of God. We've come to the end of our study on the spiritual gifts. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do a work in each and every heart. There's not a word that I could say. There's not a message that I could preach. There's not a lesson that I could teach that could do the work that is necessary in the hearts tonight. Use us now for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Spirit-filled. We spoke of this month, every Sunday night, of a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will, and also a dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life. As we have mentioned before, every individual on the planet that has ever asked Christ to come into their heart to be their personal Savior, they've done what John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name." If you've done that tonight, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've believed on his name, you are one of his. He calls you his child. And he has placed within every believer the permanent indwelling of that third part of the holy divinity, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot ask for any more spirit. You have all the spirit that you're going to get because you have it all. You have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in you. But to be spirit-filled, to be spirit-filled is when you and I, as believers, as children of God, we live our daily lives in a conscious, constant, and complete surrender. You say, "Brother Dan, how does that apply in the world that I live in?" When you drive to work in the morning, how many of you can take more than one route to work? Raise your hand. Good. How many of you take the exact same route to work every day? Raise your hand. Okay, we've got some that are, they sleep on the way to work. They wake up at the job place. No, I'm just teasing. A conscious, constant, and complete surrender in that scenario would be, Spirit of God, which way should I go this morning? I could go 24 and risk my life and draft as I go down the highway. Or I could go another route. Which route would you have me take? Because we understand as Spirit-filled believers, as children of God, we understand that God knows all, sees all, and knows the future. And it's very possible that He could reserve a spot for us not in the emergency room at our job place that morning. And so a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will and also a dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life in that scenario would be, which route should I take? You say, well, Brother Dan, do you think he would tell me that? Oh, I believe so. I actually believe that he uses what you have, your makeup. Because when you got saved, the Bible said, behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new being. Satan doesn't share rent with God in a believer's body. He doesn't. Now, you do have your flesh that you contend with, this shell that we live in. We'll get a new one of those when we get to heaven. That is why for a Christian, for a believer, death is not the end. It is the beginning of eternal life for us. The temporary is over. The eternal begins. Every aspect of life, Lord, how should I address this situation in my child's life? Should I say something? When should I say something? Holy Spirit of God, should I smart back at my wife when she says something to me in the morning so graciously? Should I answer that back or should I let that one go and just drink my coffee? Every aspect of our life, the purpose of that surrender, the purpose of that dependence is to produce fruit of souls, empowered ministry, no matter what your ministry is, victory over temptation, and the fruit or the evidence of the Spirit that abides in you and I. That is the reason why we want to walk in the Spirit, the Bible says in Galatians 5, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. As every man hath received the gift at the moment of salvation, every believer, every child of God is given at minimum one spiritual gift, and many receive more than one. But you at least get one. You say, well, Brother Dan, how do you know that? You'll know that. You'll know that. Now, we went through and we studied. We looked at 20 different spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Scripture. We saw how that some of those gifts were sign gifts that were meant for a specific purpose in a specific time, and they're no longer for this moment that we live in. We don't need that. For example, the revelatory gift of receiving inspiration and receiving the gospel and receiving the Word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God is no longer necessary today because we have the complete Word of God in our hand today. Amen? And so we no longer need those. There was a gift of tongues. That gift of tongues, literally, we saw how that it meant languages. So at one point in time, there were a couple of times that are mentioned in Scripture where it was needed so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be mentioned and could be heard and understood by those that were present. It was given, a gift was given to the apostles and to the disciples to be able to speak languages that they had never studied for. They had never learned. They just spoke and it was understood, and more than one at that time. So we talked about that. We looked at all those gifts. And then we get down to the point now where we find out tonight, hopefully, Lord willing, what our gift is, or gifts. And the Bible exhorts us here in 1 Peter that as you have received that gift, we saw also in the very beginning how that gift was given to every believer, not for you. That gift is not for you. That gift is for everyone else in the body of Christ but you. And their gift is for you. And because God set it up that way, there can be unity in the body. Why? I need your gift. I need your gift. I need your ministry in my life. You need, I know this is a hard saying, but you need my gift, whatever that may be. My gift of confusion, choir. My gift of not knowing the music like I need to, instrumentalist. You need that, because together we are one. Together we are the body of Christ. So you've received that gift. That leads us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We looked at this briefly. There are a couple verses that we're going to look at again tonight. These verses that we're reading will be on a sheet that will be given to you in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. You have been placed in the body of Christ, as it hath pleased him. As it hath pleased whom? Him. Who's him? God. That's how he has set this thing up. We don't control that. Pastor doesn't control that. God places and brings to this local body, the body of Christ, those that he would have here. Many of you are here, and some of us couldn't tell you why we came in the first place. For some, maybe you were invited. For others, maybe someone led you to Christ and discipled you and brought you here. For others, you looked us up on the internet, and, well, that looks like a good church. And you decided to come and show up at church. And so we're here for a reason. And you say, well, I chose to be here. Well, you might have, or maybe God allowed you to be here. Maybe God placed you where he wanted you, as the Bible says. And he continues, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet what? One body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body. Now this is where it gets a little difficult. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. What does he say? They're necessary. We need in the body the parts, the members, that are feeble. Michelle, we need you with your leg propped up on that wheel dolly there, which is a fun thing, isn't it? It's awesome. We need you at this point in your life. There's a reason why that happened. God knows why it happened. And he let it happen for a purpose. And he has allowed others to rally around you and to pray for you and to encourage you and to help you, even your in-laws, to help you and love on you and do things for you. That's part of what God does. We need that. And those members, verse 23, of the body, which we think... You say, well, I thought, yeah, don't think. Which we think to be less honorable. So let me get this straight. If under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the apostle placed this in the Word of God for us to read and understand, it is because it is necessary. And he says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and let's not be sanctimonious tonight before an almighty and a holy and an all-knowing God in our heart of hearts, at one point or another, you or I, we have said in our heart, boy, I wonder what they're good for. I wonder what they add to the body. This is a hard one to swallow. We think to be less honorable. Upon these, this is what we are to do. We are to bestow more abundant honor. And then he gets even further. And this gets uncomfortable. And the uncomely parts, the toes. How many of you like to look at feet? Ugh. Nasty. Have more abundant comeliness. Do you know what uncomely means? Inelegant. Properly shapeless. We are to honor or to have or show or bestow deference, or it means reverence. For our comely parts, verse 24, have no need. Those that are shaped. And what it gives the idea of is being shaped and molded like Christ. We have those members of every local body of Christ that perhaps have not had the privilege of sitting under the preaching of the Word of God all their life. That perhaps have not had the blessing of having a mom and a dad who, when they were even in the womb, they prayed and they sang songs. And when they were born, they read scripture to them and prayed them to sleep every night. Not everyone has had that privilege. Not everyone is comely. Not everyone is shaped. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. In your automobile, you have tempered glass. That tempered glass is placed together specifically for your safety, for strength, to be able to withstand heavy winds and, up to a certain point, certain blows. Having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. This is what a body does. This is what a body in Christ does that has realized and recognized and acknowledged their gift and is exercising their gift within the body. We are using that gift that God gave us, not for us, but we're using it to honor and to prefer others within the body. That is how the body functions best. He continues that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's a wonderful thing when something wonderful happens to another member of the body. We rejoice with those that we rejoice. We weep with those that weep. We actually hurt. Our heart hurts with those that have a loss. We feel that pain. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So, we've seen what the Spirit of the Lord is and what the heart of God is in this. And before we hand out these sheets, and as the ushers are getting ready with those sheets that we're going to hand out, here in a moment, we are going to hand out a tool. That's all it is. It's just a tool. There's a few questions that it asks. And I would ask that you approach these questions with an open mind. And don't stress over it. This is for your eyes only. No one else, unless your neighbor is doing this, no one else will be able to see. And unless you share it, no one else will know. But as we go into this, let me caution us with one thing, and that is, let us not make the mistake of identifying ourselves by whatever gift or gifts we might have. I'm a prophet. Well, you may have a gift of encouragement or a gift of identifying or edifying and consoling, but your identity in Christ is you are a child of God, saved by grace, not of anything that you've done, but only because of His love and His mercy that has been shown to you. So we don't make the mistake of identifying ourselves by our gift. There is no big gift, little gift. I've got more gifts. There's nothing like that. Why? Because we identify as saved children of God only by the grace of God. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And we identify all of us that are believers, all that have professed Christ as their Savior. We identify as a child of the King. Amen? So as the ushers come forward at this time, and they're going to hand these out, what are these spiritual gifts? Well, we looked at 20 different gifts, but they may be summarized this way. The gift of prophecy. And this is on your sheet, and you can go ahead and hand them out already. If you need a pen, indicate to the usher that you'll need a pen, and they'll kindly give you a pen. There's the gift of ministry, or the gift of helps, which is a desire to serve and help God's people. You have the ministry of teaching, which is the ability to teach God's truth, helping people understand how His Word applies to them. You have the ministry and the gift of exhortation or encouragement, which is the ability and desire to encourage others in the Christian life. You have the gift of giving, the ability and the desire to give to God's work and to God's people. Whenever the Holy Spirit of God lays on your heart, you give liberally. There's the gift of ruling or administration. That is the ability to lead and to administrate part of God's work, whether it be pastor or Sunday school teacher or head usher or somebody heading up a cancer ministry or whatever ministry that you have a part of. The gift of mercy, the ability to feel the pain of others and to help them during these trials. So at this time, what you're going to do, there are some questions, and these questions are designed to help you see how God has uniquely gifted you for His work. Using a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the strongest, answer each question, and make sure that you answer all the questions. And then wait until you have completed each question, and then we'll give you some brief instructions at the very end. And as the teacher would say, you can begin now. We have plenty of time.
Thank you.
If you find yourself being done at the very back, you'll notice that there's some brief instructions, and you'll just find the number one on your sheet. You have a space there. Write in the number that corresponds with that. And it's okay if you need your phone for the calculator. Nobody will criticize you. You'll add up each column above each one of the gifts. Keep in mind that this gifts test did not come directly out of the Word of God and is not inspired. Some are looking at me saying, thank God. Many times, because our spiritual gift is meant for others, many times others can tell us more what we're gifted in. They can give us an indication. Husbands, specifically your wife in this case, she can share with you how that is. And as we're finishing up, and if you're still continuing and finishing, don't worry about the time. We're still really good on time. But I'd like to go ahead and encourage us with this, and that is, this is for you. This is a tool to be used by you. And tonight, as we go out into the Family Life Center here in just a few moments, you're going to see, I believe it's 21 different tables that are set up, with just a sampling of all the ministries that are here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I would encourage you to stay here in just a moment and go into the Family Life Center. And as an encouragement for that, we have some nacho cheese and chips. And there's some salsa. And it's not paste. And I saw somebody bring in 170 tamales. So the first 170 that get in there will get a tamale tonight. I would see the Spanish table for that. And then also, just another reminder of this, and that is, some of these gifts may not be represented at those tables. There's some gifts that we spoke of. The gift of discernment. That's a spiritual gift. How do you set up a table for a ministry of discernment? It would look a little bit like on, you remember the Charlie Brown and Lucy would set up and she would charge 5 cents for counsel. And if we see a sign or a table like that, I'm not going to it. I'm not going to it. The gift of discernment. But there are some gifts that God might have extended to you as a gift to the body that we don't We don't necessarily see. It's not visible. We have so many members in our church that are strong prayer warriors. There are those that cannot be here. We have a whole group of shut-ins that pray for us. They pray, and they pray in detail for us. We need that. We need that. And if we can go ahead and turn the music off, gentlemen, the ladies are going to come to the instruments, and we're going to have a brief invitation tonight. And as they begin to play, as soon as they arrive, with heads bowed and eyes closed, for those of you that are done, pastors coming to the platform. Some of us might have been a little surprised by what we found out tonight. To know all these things is wonderful. But if we know to do good and we do it not, if we know that our gift is for others, we know that our gift is so that there be unity and that there be no schism in the body, and we are not exercising our spiritual gift as God intended, I believe that's something that we need to settle with the Lord, and we can do that at this time.
I'm so thankful for Brother Dan taking this on over the last month just to do such a capable job of preaching through the spiritual gifts, and now this night giving the spiritual gifts test. But perhaps you're here for the very first time and the subject matter takes you a little off guard. Can I tell you what our church stands for? Our church was started in these couple hundred years ago plus to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And the lesson, the message, the preacher, the preaching you just heard is talking about how the body, the church, works together. But this church was built on the truth that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for your sins and mine. You see, the scriptures are very clear that every single one of us is a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone is a sinner. We've missed the mark. The mark would be perfection. All of us have missed it. You may not have missed it as much as somebody else missed it. You may be closer or further away from perfection, but it doesn't matter. You've still missed it. And every one of us have sinned. And the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. Everybody that sinned deserves to pay the penalty, the wage for that sin. And that's death in a horrible place called hell. But Jesus died on the cross for your sin. For mine, so that you and I could go free. We could escape the penalty of our sins and go to live in heaven forever with the Lord. The only thing that the scripture says that a person must do is receive Christ and forgiveness of sins through Him. And that's simply done by putting your faith in Him as your personal Savior. And so maybe this is your first time being in church tonight here, and you've come with a heavy heart. Can I tell you that the reason that God brought you here, you say, I brought myself here, as Brother Dan said, God had a purpose for you being here. And if you're here, you understand that you're a sinner, you've come short of the glory of God. And you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here realizing you're a sinner and realizing that Jesus is the Savior, wouldn't you there where you sit, just make a little altar out of your chair, your pew where you're at, or your chair, and just pray there in your heart to Jesus, asking Him, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not good enough to go to heaven. I know I deserve to go to hell. But I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior. please come into my life and save me? Maybe you have that or something else on your heart that's heavy tonight. I'm going to ask you, if you're able to stand together as they continue to play, and maybe you have just something heavy on your heart you'd like to pray about at an altar. You say, I don't have to go up there. You're sure right, you don't. But sometimes the best decisions I've ever made is at the conclusion of a service, I went forward. Sometimes somebody prayed with me, sometimes they did not. But just sealing the decision that God had led me to make in my heart. Would you step out and come? As they just continue to play one more verse, if there's something heavy on your heart and you need somebody to pray with, I invite you to come. If you need to be saved, I invite you to come. As they just continue to play another little bit, I don't want to leave it without you doing business with the Lord. If you'd like to come and pray, then you're certainly welcome to. And Lord, we thank you for this time to be in your house. Thank you for the wonderful message tonight. Thank you for the message over the last month on Sunday nights, messages. And thank you for people using their gifts to be a blessing to others. Thank you for that, dear Lord. I thank you for the snacks and the food that we'll partake of over there. I pray that you would bless them to our bodies. And Lord, we'll thank you for the good fellowship. Thank you now for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. If you're taking care of a booth over at the ministry fair, I'm going to go ahead and let you be dismissed and head over that way. And then I'll give you just a couple of words of instruction. And so if you're manning or womaning one of the booths over there, then please go ahead and dismiss and be over there ready for us. And then I'd like to invite everybody to come. You may say, well, preacher, I'm already involved in more stuff than I can shake a stick at. Just come over for fellowship. I've got plenty to do already myself. I'm just going over to eat the food. So I want you to join me. Come over. We'll fellowship together, and we'll have a good time. I challenge you, though, also, as you're going over there to fellowship, let's get the benefit out of it. Let's find somebody who you don't know. Introduce yourself to them and tell them who you are, how long you've been coming, whatnot. Don't be afraid of getting embarrassed. Well, I've been here for a long time and so have they and I didn't know it. That's fine. Just introduce yourself to them. But then also look at the booths and with an honest heart and also the information that Brother Dan's given us, look at that and say, well, what would God have me be involved with? Because I am a believer that God wants everybody involved. Maybe you're not involved in the same things I am. Maybe you're not involved in a visible ministry at all. But I believe everybody ought to be involved in the ministry of prayer. Everybody ought to be involved in the ministry of support. And I believe all of us can get someplace to serve. So with that being said, that's given them enough time over there. Please come over, even if you're just there for a few minutes with us together. We'll have a great time together. God bless. You're dismissed. Oh, wait, one more thing. Sorry. If you're ordering a gray, I love gray sweatshirt. We made these for some event not too long ago, but we are having the sweatshirts specifically for if you're working for the parade. But then if you just want one, it's a wonderful shirt. We'll get some that says, I love gray, Buffalo Ridge on the back, the sunny place to be. They're about $15-$20. If you'll see Amy over at the ministry fair, she'll get you signed up because we have to order them before and pay for them ahead of time. Thank you. You're dismissed.